Anybody know what Hosea 4:6 says? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen? Well, there's a lot of destruction going on out there for lack of knowledge. That means lack of truth, revelation. Again, we are in a transitional time and season. Things that have been going on for a period of time since the new age of darkness has manifested. Since 2012, things have rapidly expanding. One of the things that the Spirit brought to me today, he said two words, scales and veils. And in this scales and veils, he said, this is where America's at. It's America's scales and veils. And as I began to do some research on some of the things that has been going on and realizing more and more how we have been lied to so badly, it's disgusting. I mean, it's just terrible for so many years. And truly believing that this country was founded on Christianity. Not saying that Christians didn't come over. Not saying that there was an attempt. But reality is that this country is not Christian. Not that there's not Christians here. That's reality. You know, when you step back and you think about, okay, if Satan is the ruler of this earth, there isn't one government that's Christian except for the kingdom of God that's Christian government on this earth. Other than that, no governments are Christian. They may proclaim to be Christian, but they're not, because there's always an agenda in some way. And that's where the Lord had said, many will come in my name. There will be wolves in sheep's clothing. So we see that there are many scales still and many veils. A scale is what's over the eye. A veil is a curtain that hides things. And America has multiple scales and veils. And its true identity is being exposed more and more and more. Because God is allowing it to be exposed. Because he's awakening his people. But too many people in this country are still asleep, really not knowing what this country, its founding, its purpose, and its destiny is. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, now there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And he said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. In other words, there was going to be a laying on of hands of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the scales are going to come off the eyes. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man and how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and as he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Again, we see the scales here. There are still many believers who don't have the scales taken off yet. They still can't see. They believe Jesus is Savior, but he's not their Lord. If you notice, Saul said, Lord. And in this, there's that area where people can't see what they're supposed to see because they're so blinded and caught up in the things of the world, or their belief system is causing them to be blinded. But there is a belief system that will lead you to the truth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit where the scales come off. One of the things that the enemy always tries to do is put back those scales on your eyes. That's what people start to drift. When they start drifting, they put their eyes on themselves and on their needs and on what's good for them instead of what's good for the kingdom. See, the purpose of removing the scales is so that you become about the kingdom business. So we see that scales are still on individuals. They are still spiritually, these scales are spiritual blinders to prevent from seeing the truth. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter if you've been baptized 20 years ago. It doesn't matter whether you're praying tongues. You can still have scales back on your eyes. And Luke 23. In verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. This was a curtain. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross. When he died on the cross, this curtain in the temple was torn. In verse 46, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So there was a price that Jesus paid, and that was removing the veil. And this veil was the veil of the temple, opening the physical realm into the spiritual realm. This was a curtain that was torn. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Scales and veils. Americas. Scales are blinders over the eyes, and veils are a curtain where things are deceptive and people can't see what's going on behind closed doors. They can't see what's really happening. They may get to the curtain but not know what's behind it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is everybody there? Verse, I think it's 13. Verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could what? Could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. Many people are veiled to what is the end. They're veiled because of the things that are happening in the end times right now. It says, for their minds were blinded, for until this day the veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away in Christ, in the anointing. But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. In chapter 4, in verse 3, it says something very powerful. It says, for even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Whose mind's the god of this age? Who's the god of this age? Satan. The god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So we see in this veil, which is there's a veil of deception. There is an epidemic in America, and that is the deception epidemic. It is phenomenal how much deception is going on. It is an epidemic in America. It is a deception epidemic. We see that there is a veil of deception and there's a veil of perishing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Our 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. Thessalonians chapter 2. In chapter 2, America's scales and veils. Would you read it with me, please, starting at verse 1? Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come. Let no one, what? Deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the what? The falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So we see that there is going to be a falling away, and we see that falling away that is in progress right now. It's been in progress. It will continue. There is a falling away. America has fallen away from the truth. Its leaders are appointed to usher in the New World Order. They are not only ushered in to bring in the New World Order, but they are also to bring it under the Babylonian system that was ruled by Nimrod. And Nimrod was a Nephilim hybrid and loved to be worshipped. He was worshipped. He was known one of the ancient gods of antiquity. He had multiple names. Again, a falling away has been in progress and it's continuing. Many will fall. The Bible says that many will fall from the faith. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12. America has a deception epidemic. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. I want you to look at this as this letter is written to the United States, because there's a tremendous stumbling block before our children. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. He said, repent or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will give him some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Right now we see that worshipers of Baal, which is associated with Balaam, worship of Baal, putting the stumbling blocks before our children with TV, okay, with movies, education, with music, with same-sex, approval of same-sex marriage, with abortions. All of these things are stumbling blocks to our children as they're growing up, as though it is a common thing. It is not common to kill a baby, a child in a womb. It isn't common for a man to be with a man or a woman to be with a woman. It's not common. It's sick. It's demonic. And there are multiple things that we could talk about in that arena. You know, the new age of darkness, which arose and has come forth in a very rapid way in 2012. One of the things that we look at in this country, now we have a president in this country, and there's multiple presidents, and they've all been under the rule of Satan's kingdom. But I'm talking about the president right now. And Obama, when he did his acceptance speech at the Democratic National Convention held in Denver, Colorado, he did it in front of a replica of the seat of Satan's throne, known as the altar of Zeus. Not only did he do this, but also Hitler did the exact same thing. Hitler, just like Hitler, of course, we know Hitler was a son of Satan. Obama chose the exact same copy backdrop of the altar of Zeus at the acceptance speech, and he knowingly chose that seat of Satan to be the platform for accepting his role in the days ahead, in which they denied God in that. They denied the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is where this country is at and where it's been. And Deuteronomy 13. Scales and veils. America the free. Hey, you know, America has always been known as a superpower. It's been a place of freedom. Many people migrated to this country. But there was a hidden agenda behind everything. In Deuteronomy 13 and starting at 1, it says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. You shall put away the evil from your midst. If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend, who is as your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, you shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. I think that covers it all, doesn't it? But you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Well, we would have a lot of dead bodies all around if this was continuing on today. In fact, some of us wouldn't even be here. I guess this is what you call dead serious. And I believe God is dead serious, and this is going to come to pass. But I believe right now that in this country, many children have been caused to stumble. Yes, there is a free will that we have. But, one day I was called to jury duty, and there was a gentleman that got arrested for drunken driving and hit a few poles and whatever. And, I began to think about it. So they have laws and whatever to protect people. Okay, so you really want to protect someone? Don't sell booze. Okay, you sell products that say this cigarette causes cancer. Well, then what are you selling it for? So we have a government that promotes death. Oh, they may warn you about it, but why not take it off the market? Okay, go on into the grocery stores and look at what the things that say or what people are eating. Well, you don't need to bury anybody, really. They're going to be preserved. People are eating food that's mummifying them. Look at how many deaths there are when it's been FDA approved. Oh, we need to call that back. Because everything that's motivated behind all their decisions is money and power. money and power, anything to sidestep the anointing of Christ. That's what this whole thing is about. Why? Because the ruler of this world is Satan. Again, there is no true righteous government. None. Only one, and that's the government of Jesus Christ. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. He said, don't worship any other gods. None. Now, we know that in the book of Genesis, that when the angels put on flesh and went into women and produced offsprings and Nephilims, that they were known as gods and goddesses. That's where all your mythical things came from. And in that, one of the things that the Lord had said as a judgment, he said, he told the angels that put on the flesh that their first Nephilims, that their generation would live 500 years and then they would kill each other. And that was the punishment of the angels that put on flesh, that they would see their offsprings killed. And then the Lord put them in Tartarus until judgment. But of course, the Nephilim still continued until the flood and so forth, and then after flood. But they were known as gods. But after the flood, there was one who was known as the king of the world. He was even known as king of kings and lord of lords. And his name was Nimrod. But his name means rebellion. And in Genesis chapter 10, would you go there with me? Genesis chapter 10. In verse 8, is everybody there? Now Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. Now, this is what our Bible says, but if there's two other, our Bible references two, or actually three other books. The book of Japheth, the book of Enoch, and the book of Jubilee. And in these books, when you begin to cross-reference and see what they actually talk about, one of the things that it talks about was, it says, and Cush begot Nimrod, and he became a Nephilim. He was a mighty one on the earth. In verse 9 it says, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calne, and the land of Shinar. So we see here that after the flood, Nimrod was raised up. And he was known as the king of the world. He was known as the king of kings and lord of lords. And even the other Nephilims and giants served him. And chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found in the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. One of the reasons they were building this tower was to attempt to kill God. Kind of wild, huh? You got to remember that they believed that they were gods. It says, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men built. And the Lord said, indeed, these people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now look at, what does it say? Now nothing that they purpose to do will be what? Withheld from them. Come, let us go down there, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore the name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. From there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Now, there are multiple names of Nimrod. One of them is Gilgamesh. Thank you. Gilgamesh. That's one of his names. And I don't know if you know this or not, but just recently they found his tomb. Another one of his names is Apollo. Orion. Osiris or Osiris. They got strange names. These were all known as gods. And he had multiple names. Look at, we're talking about this arena because when you walk into the Capitol building or you walk down into the Capitol and you get out of a train station or you start walking around, there's something you're going to see. You're going to see in Washington, D.C., many buildings that these gods and goddesses are lined up all along the buildings. All in these government buildings, pagan gods, Zeus, all of these things. In fact, D.C. represents the District of Columbia. Here we have a capital that the domain of Isis, Ishtar, and Samarius, who is the mother or half-sister and wife of Nimrod. Think about that. She had incestuous relationships with her father, Cush. So his daughter, are you listening? His daughter, him and his daughter produced an offspring, which was known as Nimrod. And that's where the Nimrod came from. She later, now then let's go a little further. She even later married Nimrod. Talk about a dysfunctional family. So I'm gonna step back a little bit. Cush's daughter, all right, ended up marrying Cush. Producing an offspring named Nimrod. And then she ended up marrying Nimrod and produced an offspring. And that offspring was Tammuz. And forming this, what had happened is this formed the original unholy trinity with both Christmas and Easter are based on. So we can truly see here the horror of Babylon. Does everybody get this? Now, in the statue on top of the Capitol Dome, it's known as the Queen of Heaven. Amen? Who is considered her. Now, I got all kinds of stuff, so I'm just going to hit a few things. Inside, there are scenes of the Aztec temple and the Aztec calendar. There are serpents. This is inside our Capitol. There are 72 pentagrams all around, which they are called pentagrams. Amen? Even George Washington is seated as God with a bunch of females around him. You don't see anything about Jesus. You don't see anything about Abraham. Nothing about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have seen the word in God we trust, but they're not talking about our God. Not at all. And so think about this. These places are, you go into places there and some of them will say the Temple of Lincoln. Well, what are temples for? Place of worship of what? Gods. Because they proclaim themselves as gods. So even these, our presidents are proclaiming themselves as gods, just like Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Now, there's no Jesus, no Abraham or Moses, but there are characters of Neptune, Venus, and all of these other gods and goddesses all over the place. There's a statue of George Washington posed as the goat god Baphomet, just identical. Again, temples are for gods. All the Freemasons, all the presidents are associated with the Freemasons. Or secret societies. The Capitol building, inside the Capitol building, is known as the crypt. This is where they lay presidents out that they, when they died. There's a section in there, they're called a crypt. So when the president dies, they leave him laid out there for a period of time so that he can ascend into a higher level. These are things that are happening before our eyes, but we're not seeing these things. Again, I can only touch so much here. I can't go so into depth, but you can do research yourself. Okay, let's go a little further. How about the Great Seal of the United U.S. dollar, right? 1935, it was approved by a high-ranking Freemason. His name was Franklin Roosevelt. Its purpose was to put the all-seeing eye on top of a pyramid, and that god was known as Horus. Or Osiris or whatever, and known as Nimrod. Same thing, he comes in multiple names. How about Nassau? Think about NASA. I mean, we have a space program here, NASA, which was established by Nazi scientists. Okay. So it was started, it was established by Nazi scientists. And think about this. Every one of their program projects are named after pagan gods. Think about it. Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, Atlas rocket, Saturn rocket, Apollo 2. Even the command module was called Columbia. The lunar landing was called Eagle, representing the Phoenix. Then there was the Titan rockets. The next one that they're establishing, the next space program is called Orion. And they're going to launch the OSIRIS-REx, known as the Nimrod, you know. There are so many scenes in the Capitol building. There's even one scene in a window where you have George Washington on his knees praying. And above him is the pyramid with the all-seeing eye. And below him is the phoenix. Do you know that when the Pentagon got hit by on 9/11, that when they rebuilt that section that got hit, they renamed it the Phoenix? There are so many, not coincidental, but certain things that are done. And the, you know that tall tower that's the Washington Monument, whatever? It's actually 6,666 inches tall and 666 inches wide in each section. Hello. I mean, there are so many things that are just wild that we've got to step back and go, you know what? This country is really not a Christian country. This country is a pagan country. Again, if Satan is the ruler of the earth, there is no government of Christianity except the kingdom of God. Amen? You know, think about it. How about our every day of the week is under a pagan name? Amen? Our calendar, our cities, our money, our education. You know, people need to really stop and wake up and see what's going on. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 13, scales and veils. Hallelujah. In Revelation 13 and verse 1, let's read this together. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. In other words, died. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast who is able to make war with him? Now, they were saying that about Nimrod. Who is like him that anyone can make war against him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in it, in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the authority was given over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes the fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And it deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. I believe America's primary role appears to be about the supporting and resurrection of Nimrod, who is the Antichrist. In Matthew chapter 10, you know, sometimes it's hard to fathom such reality. It's hard to grab hold of it, especially when we were brought up in an arena of deception, living in the matrix, thinking everything is hunky-dory. That's all I need to do is work and raise a family, leave something for my children, die and go home. Never realizing that we've been slaves since we've come into this place, used to build their empire, just like Pharaoh. In fact, we know that the spirit of Pharaoh is in the White House. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, would you read it with me? Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves sons or daughters more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. This is where we're at. Just a simple impartation of awakening that this country is under pagan rule, and their purpose is to usher in that which one that was killed and brought forth, and the anointing of the demonic arena of Nimrod. He will be the Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying he's going to come forth from here, but it may be another part of another country or so forth, maybe Egypt, maybe Turkey, whatever. But United States is promoting it and preparing it and supporting it. And it looks very much like they will eventually house the Antichrist cabinet, which they are already doing now. Is everybody okay? But praise be to God. We are predestined. We're anointed, appointed, and we're armed and dangerous. This is knowledge of information. Again, this is nothing but training for us, so that we don't get sucked in why so many others are getting sucked in. We can't get sucked into this. No matter what they say, no matter where, who, what, whatever signs and wonders is going on, don't get sucked in. Amen? Stay close. Stay in fellowship with the Lord and the Spirit. Stay in fellowship with the Word. And stay in fellowship with your brothers that are with a pure heart and clean hands. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask, Lord, that you continue to quicken us and bring to remembrance those things that are around us and the association of this country with the movement of the Antichrist. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.